The Buffalo Chicken Sub has arrived at Penn Station East Coast Subs. It's got the kick, it's got the crunch, and it's packed with bold buffalo flavor, melty cheese, and perfectly grilled chicken. Only for a limited time. Name a better pair than buffalo and chicken. Fresh cut fries and freshly squeezed lemonade? How about all of the above? Order the new Buffalo Chicken Sub any way you like it at your nearest Penn Station location today. Order ahead online at penn-station.com for easy pickup or enjoy it hot off the grill for dine-in at Penn Station East Coast Subs.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Man, free agency. Kick it off with a bang, I guess I'll say. What the hell is going on? My God, we got trades. Shit, letting go of safeties. Man, didn't see this particular move coming. We got free agency roundup. We're going to lead off with the shocking trade news that none of us saw coming. I certainly didn't see it coming. Seems like reporters who are around the players certainly didn't see this coming. And I trying to wrap my mind around the whole thing. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. I thought today's podcast was just going to be talking about everything that happened yesterday with all the contracts, all the players who left and signed deals. And then we get this morning, a trade shocker. I'll call it a fucking shocker because I sure shit didn't see this happening. The Eagles have traded safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the Texans for guard Kenyon Green. The Eagles also have swapped a 2026 sixth rounder for a 2026 fifth rounder in the deal. This trade came virtually out of nowhere. I don't know who anticipated this besides the people that were involved. You know, C.J. was viewed as a valuable piece of that defense. He was brought back for his toughness and his tenacity and the attitude and all these things that the team was missing in 2023 when C.J. Gardner-Johnson left the first time around. And now he is on his way to another team yet again. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what the plan is from Howie Roseman. Early reports indicate that this was solely a financial move, getting out from CJ's contract while trying to clear as much space to keep their core intact. You know, you have to pay Jalen Carter down the road. It's best to pay these guys, you know, after the third season. You're going to want to see, you're going to want to pay Jalen Carter as early as possible with the rates that defensive tackles are going. We just saw what Milton got. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but you're definitely going to want to pay him. Cam Jurgens' extension is any day now. I'm going to have to pay all these guys. Obviously, Quinyon, the Coopers down the road. You want to clear as much space as possible. And this move does clear up some space for next year as well. But I'm starting to wonder, I have been wondering if the cap savings is worth the loss in production that CJ brought to this team and everything else he brought to this team. I understand it from a financial aspect. And from what I've gathered, I've spent a couple hours gathering info, trying to make sense of the situation. There was a sense that Howie Roseman was getting ahead of a potential contract situation with Gardner-Johnson. He's like the 17th highest paid safety right now. Howie Roseman, I guess, got a feeling that CJ could potentially want more money down the road. His 3-year deal that he signed last year is really a 2-year deal. He can get out of it in his third year. And he, I guess, got a feeling that CJ would start looking for money, and they went down this road in 2022, and he likely didn't want to deal with that headache. So he got out of it now. We got to save money. And Howie did say, you know, we're going to have to make some tough decisions this offseason. We saw a couple key guys leave that we'll get into, and now CJ, it might be the toughest pill this offseason because the safety room was largely not that deep to begin with. And now you have Reed Blankenship, who's essentially the veteran of the group, and behind him you have Sidney Brown. Like, are you going to entrust him with a larger role? You have Tristan McCollum, who saw some action this year. You got Louis Cine, who they brought in. You have Orsine. Is it Louis Cine, the Georgia safety? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And then you have Andre Sam, I think, sitting somewhere, practice squad. He's around somewhere. But you don't really have any safeties that you can depend on besides Reed Blankenship. And this is where you start to think about the draft and free agency. Justin Simmons is running around talking about how he would like to be in Philadelphia because Fangio is here and Christian Parker's here. And we did this whole song and dance last season, so I don't know what we're going to do with that this year. But Justin Simmons is running around, and there's some free agent guys out there. But now the biggest fear with a move like this is what the team will look like without CJ Gardner Johnson. But I will give this team the benefit of the doubt because this team is much different now than it was after 2022 when he left and they lost guys like TJ Edwards and people like that. They have foundational pieces like Zach Bond, like Nolan Smith, like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Jalen Carter. These guys are in place now to kind of maintain that dog mentality. I hate saying it so much, but the dog mentality and the attitude that this team had last year. There's pieces here now on this team, young pieces that can maintain that mindset and keep the team hungry and keep the team, you know, keep the foot on the gas. But I it's tough because CJ, I believe, brought value to the back end of that defense. He was a playmaker. You know, he became a good tackler during the year. Didn't start the year that way, but he became a good tackler throughout the year. He created turnovers, and the team really struggled in creating turnovers when he wasn't here. So I'm curious to see what the plan is going to be to kind of replace that production. And I don't know if getting out ahead of his contract now is worth missing out on that production. Now, Howie obviously knows better than I do all these guys, plan for situations like this. And you want to go ahead and clear the space so that you can keep your young core intact down the road. But this is tough because he brought a lot to this team. And the Eagles will probably be drafting another safety. Like, Georgia's Malachi Starks went from fun idea to, like, a necessity now overnight. Like, now you need a safety. Now you got to bring somebody in here. And my bigger issue with this whole thing is not so much getting rid of CJ. It's kind of the return. Like, this was essentially a salary dump is what this deal is, because you get back a guy like Kenyon Green who, to put it lightly, needs some work. Like, he was ranked 59 out of 59 guards via PFF. That's not good. That's not good. He had a 39.7 passing block grade. He had a 44.6 run blocking grade. These numbers are out of 100, by the way. So it's been a rough go since Kenyon Green was drafted 15th overall in 2022. But he has, you know, the tools. And Philadelphia is known for bringing guys in, Stoutland University, and fixing these guys up. He has the power. He has the tools. He's only 23. He turns 24 this week, I believe. So it's all there. But my thing is, like, he's entering the fourth year of his rookie contract now. And even if he plays well, do you pick up the option? Do you let him walk? And then we're back where we started next year. Is Mekhi Becton not coming back? Like, now there's all these moving pieces. And a guy like Kenyon Green, trading C.J. Gardner-Johnson for a project offensive lineman who probably won't start next year, and a pick swap just to relieve yourself of something. Like, I feel like there was a better way to create more cap space than doing it this way. But again, Howie might have got a sense that C.J.'s going to want more money, and he didn't want to deal with it. There's some people speculating that the whole Slay and CJ stuff, like, led to this, but Howie didn't keep either of them at the end of the day. So I don't know. It wasn't like keep one or the other and no drama. I think this was purely a financial move, and I think Howie is trying to plan 2-3 years ahead of time. And Roseman has been really good about getting rid of players 1 year early rather than 1 year too late. And I think this is a case of that. So Howie has earned all of our trust. You know, he's obviously, with everything that he has done, we have no reason to sit here and doubt him at this point. But this is certainly a trade that left me scratching my head when it happened. And you try to grasp the salary aspect of it, and you try to grasp the team building aspect of it, and how maybe a 23-year-old project offensive lineman, an area where the team excels at, is more valuable at this point in time than a 27-year-old safety on a veteran contract. Then I guess you can try and do the mental gymnastics that way. But man, CJ really was what the embodiment of what the city stood for, especially from the attitude standpoint. And we're going to miss him, but they got a ring out of it. They brought him back with the sole goal of winning a championship, and he did accomplish that. And this doesn't seem to be any bad blood, unlike the first time around with monies and contracts and all that stuff. He had it seems like this was, CJ was made aware of this, like, you know, some time ago. He had the goodbye letter and graphic already made up and everything. So this had to be in the works for a couple of days. And CJ seems to be okay with it, you know, and he'll be going on to Houston. He was building a nice-looking defense over there, and we'll see how all that shakes out. But it was real, CJ. You know, we'll miss you here. I'll miss you here, Shirley. It was a fun ride this season, and, you know, we'll be rooting for you over there in Houston. Not against us, but it was fun, CJ. We'll miss you.
Love is...
Exhilarating and exciting.
Love is... keeping things spicy.
Love is...
Hot. So hot. Ooh.
Wait, are you eating a Penn Station Buffalo Chicken Sub?
Well, yeah, it's only here for a limited time. I love you.
Huh. Now that's a sub I can love.
Spice things up with our Buffalo Chicken Sub. Available for a limited time. Penn Station. Love your sub.
So for all the moves that happened yesterday, a lot of Eagles are going to new places, starting with Milton Williams, the first Eagle to sign elsewhere. It was actually first reported that he was going to the Carolina Panthers, actually, but then New England came in with a late push and offered him more money and was able to secure a deal with Milton Williams. Inks a four-year, $104 million deal with $63 million guaranteed. New England had money to blow, man. He was one of the spots he was projected to go to. They had money to blow, and they handed Milton Williams $26 million per year. That makes him the third highest-paid defensive tackle behind Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins of the Raiders. That is a handsomely rich man now. And that just makes you think, what in the world is Jalen Carter going to get? He might get 35. He's going to get 35 next year. He'll be the highest-paid defensive tackle when the time comes. And it just lets you know that the Eagles were not handing Milton Williams $26 million per year. It wasn't feasible. Josh Sweat, as predicted, signed a long-term deal with Arizona, gets 4 years, $76.4 million, reunites with Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, the two players we knew were leaving, the two players we were bracing ourselves, we knew there wasn't really much of a chance that either of these players would come back unless they took a substantial discount. Sweat already did that once, so he wasn't going to do it this time. Milton won a title, and Milton wants to be a top defensive tackle on a defensive line. He wants to be the head dog for a defense, and now he gets that with New England. These two guys got a combined $180 million in new contracts, a price the Eagles certainly were not paying. So they cashed in, good on them, won a championship left, and now they are set for life. So good on those two guys. Those are two guys that we anticipated were going to get very well paid, and they certainly did that. Isaiah Rodgers, a two-year deal with the Vikings worth $15 million. Now, that's a price that I would have been fine with paying for essentially a starting corner. That's a starting corner salary. But the Eagles are really high on Kelee Ringo. It looks like he's going to have a chance. The whole theme with this is that the Eagles have players waiting in the wings, and it seems they want to, like, play these guys. They want to see what they have. And Sidney Brown might have a larger role next year now there's a hole at safety. Kelee Ringo, who's going to compete for the starting outside job across from Quinyon Mitchell. It seems like the theme is here. We have younger guys that have been waiting for a little bit. Let's see what they can do with the opportunity. I feel like it's going to be the theme this offseason. But $15 million, I would have been happy to bring Rodgers back for that price. But I understand from a team-building perspective that you don't want to invest that kind of money into a player who could potentially be beat out in camp. And if Ringo's starting and Rodgers is on the bench, and now you're paying a guy $7.5 million per year to sit on the bench, you don't want to do that. So it seems like the Eagles didn't want to invest resources in that route. Maybe they'll get a cheaper corner. Maybe they'll draft one, and then he'll compete with Ringo. Still got Eli Ricks here, so we'll see how all that shakes out in camp. I do suspect they will bring another corner to compete with Ringo, but big shoes to fill with Rodgers. And now Darius Slay gone. He looks like he will be gone. Darius Slay was reported to have a deal in place with the Steelers, but the Eagles actually haven't officially released him yet. So hold the phones for now. But the Slay is expected to be released when the league year officially begins on Wednesday. So the Steelers and Slay are in talks. Would make sense for Slay, I guess, at this point in his career. Doesn't want to go too far. Stay in Pennsylvania. Go to the AFC away from the Eagles. Finish out your career over there and do whatever it is you want to do at that point. We had a quarterback trade yesterday. The Eagles sent Kenny Pickett to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for a fifth-round pick. And at long last, a quarterback I've been hammering the table for years now, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, is coming to Philadelphia. A quarterback that during my PFF days, when I worked for PFF, one of my duties was charting the UCLA games. And when I tell you guys, I watched every single snap of this guy at UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I watched every single snap when I was charting up UCLA's offense. So once he was coming to the draft, I was like, please bring in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. The Eagles had two visits with him, one at the combine and they had another visit later on during the 2022 scouting process. He didn't get come here, obviously, but the Eagles know him well. They visited him a couple times. I know him well because I watched every single snap of his college career, and now he comes here. So I like the trade. The trade was a good one for several reasons. It clears the way for Tanner McKee to become QB2. Should have been QB2 last year and probably the year before that when Marcus Mariota. So that's all fine and good. Now Tanner McKee gets to assume the backup role. It saves about $2.5 billion in cap space and gets another QB in here in DTR who fits the offense schematically. I think he'll be good for practice, will be good for when you want to simulate certain situations with a mobile quarterback. If there's days where Jalen Hurts isn't practicing, Dorian Thompson-Robinson will be a good guy to run some of the things that the offense wants to try out in practice. So a good trade all around. I like how the QB depth chart looks with Tanner McKee and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think that was a good deal in all facets. And Kenny Pickett got to live his dream in Philadelphia. Essentially, he beat the brakes off the Cowboys to clinch the division, gutted through an injury. I think he had broken ribs. Got to start in the Kelly Greens. He got to play in the Kelly Greens. He got victory formation in the Super Bowl. He took Super Bowl snaps and got the tush-push touchdown. He got a tush-push. He got the whole Philadelphia experience in 1 year. So I think Kenny is very satisfied with the season that he had in Philadelphia. And now gets to go to Cleveland and I guess compete. You know, Deshaun Watson's not playing this year. I don't know if he'll ever play again. They're Cleveland. I think last I heard they're looking into guys like Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz. I'm not sure who they bring in, but Kenny will compete to start over there. Surely that's not happening in Philadelphia. So good on Kenny Pickett for winning a championship, moving on. Maybe he'll get a starting job. And that shit show that is the Cleveland Browns. Who good on them? They kept Myles Garrett. So they figured out a way to keep Myles Garrett. They showed him the money, and Myles was like, maybe I'll stay in Cleveland. So good. So good for the Browns. Last deal I have for you guys today, and this is at about 3 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. So if anything happened after this, my apologies. But Oren Burks, linebacker, signed a 2-year deal worth $5 million with the Cincinnati Bengals. Played his ass off in place of N'Kobe Dean throughout the playoffs. He played admirably and very, very respectable performance that he put through the postseason. And that's a price I would have liked to keep Oren Burks back to. N'Kobe Dean's not going to be ready for the start of the year. Would have liked to see Oren Burks back. But he's going to have a chance to start over there in Cincinnati. So even if the Eagles could match that, I don't think Oren Burks, I think he would have liked the opportunity more with the Bengals than he would here. He'll have a better chance at starting over there. Because once N'Kobe Dean comes back, obviously it's Dean and Zach Bond. Oren Burks relegated to a backup role. So Oren Burks moving on to potentially start in Cincinnati. But what a start to free agency, y'all. I mean, CJ is traded. Losing pieces left and right, but the biggest priority this offseason, I don't want you guys to lose sight of the biggest priority that was Zach Bond. They extended Saquon Barkley. All the key pieces are here. You're going to lose pieces every single year, especially after winning a championship. So I don't want you guys to lose sight of that. Stoutland works miracles, man, but he might have his work cut out with Kenyon Green. I don't know what we're going to get out of this guy. I understand. Everybody's like, look what he did with Mekhi Becton. I understand that. We signed Becton off the street, though. We had to trade like a star safety for Kenyon Green. And even if he is good, like I said, he's entering the final year of a rookie deal. And it's all weird. The whole trade is weird. It's a salary dump, getting rid of one of your best defenders. And unless Howie foresaw a contract battle down the road, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But this is why I'm sitting in a chair in front of a microphone and not in a front office position building an organization. So we'll hold out hope for Howie Rosen. He has a plan. We'll see how it goes. We still have a long offseason ahead of us. We have the draft and all of that. We are a long, long way away from kickoff in week 1. Thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the show. Be back with you guys later in the week to talk about whatever it is else the Eagles did with this team. Hopefully they didn't trade anybody else. My God, keep everybody. But until the next time, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
Love is...
Exhilarating and exciting.
Love is...
Keeping things spicy.
Love is...
Hot,
so hot. Ooh.
Wait, are you eating a Penn Station Buffalo Chicken Sub?
Well, yeah, it's only here for a limited time. I love you.
Huh. Now that's a sub I can love.
Spice things up with our Buffalo Chicken Sub. Available for a limited time. Penn Station. Love your sub.